Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Karate Unknown radio talk show featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum, archives.com. And we've had a Sport Karate Museum now for almost 30 years, and we've been on the air with this radio show for going on 9 years. And, you know, I'm going to introduce my producer in just a moment, but tonight we have a very special moment for the show. And the first thing I would like to do is give 30 seconds of silence to our co-host, the lady that's on the show with me every week. Her name is Karen Slatcher. Her husband passed away yesterday with a massive heart attack, and she's not going to be on the show tonight, but I want to say respect to her, and we love her dearly. So right now, 30 seconds of silence. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as I said earlier, this is a burden of my heart, but I really want to say something special. Now, one of our other co-hosts who's on the show every week, his name is Mr. D.E. Chambers. You heard him earlier when he introduced the show. His instructor and one of my original history generals, Mr. Fred Simon, passed away earlier in the week. And I would very be honored for you guys to give 30 seconds of silence for the great Fred Simon. We love you, Fred. We love you, Dee. Now, as I said, to be on the air every week and be in your faces every Tuesday night for the past 9 years, there's one man responsible. He's a producer, and he's an amazing man. He does a lot of things for a lot of people. And I'm very proud to introduce him. He is the president of the Elite Publications. You get books out to the world. He's also in charge of the AMAAA Foundation. But I'm really proud to introduce him. His name is Honky Jesse Bowen. Jesse, there, sir.
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir. How are you?
Well, you know, better and better. You know, it was great that, the Sport Karate book came out, because a lot of our fallen heroes, they have a place in the book. Their legacies can still live on, you know, through that. And that's what we're really trying to do with the Sport Karate Museum. Of course, the book is that place that, you know, that we can physically, see and read about those people and know about it. So, now we're just trying to make the world a better place.
Well, sir, I'm just curious, and you might have told me, but my short-term memory is terrible now that I'm an old man. But how did our book do in Las Vegas? I know we were up for an award or something.
Yeah, we are. It is still, I know, it's still out there for the Impact Awards, the Bill Wallace. I submitted them right about the same time. And so this past week, We were notified that the Bill Wallace book actually won the biography book of the month. They do their award presentation each month. So I'm still checking to see how that's actually going. But Wallace's book, The Martial Arts Changing Lives, it won the International Impact Award for 2022.
Well, that's really exciting for Bill. And I appreciate what you did in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago in honoring him. And I talked to Joe last night. He's coming in October. And he said he had a great, great, great time hanging out with everybody and, you know, meeting new friends. And, you know, by the way, people don't realize that I'm talking about Mr. Joe Corley, the inventor of the Battle of Atlanta and the founder of the PKA. And, but, you know, Haji Bowen, you do a great thing. You do a lot of great work, and we appreciate you so much and what you do for us every week. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the job that you're doing. The Sport Karate Museum is truly an important place for martial artists to be able to, you know, share their heritage, especially around sport karate.
Yes, sir. And that would be a great plug. If you're interested in looking at what we've done, you go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives. And that's archives.com. And you can see all the incredible work Tom Sullivan has done for the Sport Karate Museum. Now, before I go on and introduce my very special guest tonight, I've got to introduce my two co-hosts that put up with me every week. And the first man we introduce, he is a, now I'm not making this up, guys, he's a 47-time NASCAR world champion, NBL champion in point in sport karate. I'm talking about Mr. Dean Piles. Dean, you there?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir. Right here.
How you doing tonight,
hey,
sir?
Doing good. Hey, AJ, how are you?
Good, buddy.
We're looking forward to your demonstration of respect to Mr. John Intimidad and Harrison and Mr. Burleson and Harry Mock and Bob Wall and Eugene Pat and Fred Simon, and you're going to dedicate a performance Friday night, October 7th, at the Memorial Tribute to all those gentlemen that we've lost. And I know you have a booth on the Coward, and you're also going to be saying something in Cherokee. Explain to my listeners exactly what you're going to do. You're going to pray in Cherokee.
Yes. Yes.
Yes,
in Cherokee. So we usually just we shorten that to go, which would be yes.
Okay. That would be Friday night, October 7th in Houston, Texas at the West Cape Marriott. And if you need more information about the incredible event that the Sport Karate Museum is going to be putting on, you can call 713-483-0476. With that said, my other co-host that puts up with me, he's my Yankee buddy up in Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. A.J. Perry from Tangentsville. A.J., you there?
How are you, Gary? How you doing today?
I'm good, A.J. You realize every time I get you and Dino there together, I get goosebumps.
Don't feel my music.
You what?
Every time I get you and Dean together, I get goosebumps.
Somebody's talking in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, y'all going to have to place your phones on mute, if you will, please, so we can hear Professor and the guest. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Dean. You guys kill your phones, put it on mute if you're not talking. Well, now I've introduced my two co-hosts. which I'm very excited about them being on the air with me every week, I've got a very special guest. Now, he comes from the great Cecil Peoples. He also, you know, comes from the Kimball background that Cecil taught him. But Cecil learned from one of my best friends. He's gone now. His name is Bill Rozicki, a fellow Hawaiian. But this man, he's been on every major karate team there was back in the 80s and 90s. And he was a Raider, like I was for 12 years. I was a Raider for 12 years. I don't know how long he was, but he was a Sherman Raider with Paul. And he also, he's with a man named Mr. Cordova. I know they were a Kimball organization. We'll talk about that. But the neat thing I love about this man is that when my son got to the age where I had to give him to someone else so he could learn more, I gave him to him. I gave him to this man. His name is Jason Holmes. Now, we call him a nickname. It's J-Dog. I know that, but you know, everybody's got a nickname. But this J-Dog, this Jason Holmes, is one of the best point fighters we ever created in America. So at this time, I'm very proud to talk to Mr. Jason Holmes. J-Dog, you there, buddy?
How's it going, guys? Thank you. That was awesome.
Well,
I appreciate
J-Dog, you know, you're very humble. You're one of the humblest guys I've ever met. But someone's got to brag about you. So why can't it be me, right?
I love
well,
it. No,
how long you been with Cecil, the great Cecil?
Man, it's been, I think now it's been 30, like 30, 34 years, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned that some of the teams you're on, like, you know, our Raiders and stuff, but what other teams were you on? You were on some other teams.
First team I was ever on was Full Contact with Alexander Bear. I don't know if you guys remember him. Linda Puglisi, all those guys were on there.
By the way, Linda's going to be there in October. She bought her ticket yesterday. Linda
Puglisi. Awesome.
Yeah,
so, all those guys. Full Contact was my first one. Then, I mean, we had – it was so many in between there. I mean – being with Sherman Oaks, being with Carl Kanai. I don't know if you guys remember that name. Team Carl Kanai. All of us were on there. Me, Jason Tankson, Raymond Daniels, Ryan Huntley, Leo Career afterwards, too. Like, all of those guys.
You know, Kanai was one of my sponsors back in the day. I wasn't on the team. But Kanai, remember, what's his name? The owner, Craig Rubenfield.
Yeah, Rubenfield. Jay Rubenfield and Craig.
Craig Rubenfield. And remember the pajamas, I used to call them, that they invented? The cotton tops and those baggy bottoms.
No, that was the start of a whole new trend. Some people don't like it, some people do, but it was just something different, and that's what I loved about Carl Kanai and Outlaw.
Oh, well, baby.
Just Sports we were on. I've been on Team No Limit, and then we had Team Kickstart for a couple of years, and that one was a little different for me because I was actually the coach for Team Kickstart. I actually got to choose who was going to be on the team and do all those things. So, and then obviously we have our school and our system team, which is Team PKKA, People's Kimball Karate Association.
That was Cordova. Chuck Cordova I talked about. Right?
Yes, Chuck is on our board as well. Yeah, Chuck is on our board. We have Sensei Willie from Puerto Rico. He's on there. Myself, Skiwi Peoples, my son, my sensei's son, All of us. And it's the cool thing with our system is that we, you know, we have a board. So it's not just one person that runs everything. It's actually a board. And so we get to vote. We get to choose. And, you know, that's the way our system is. So it's pretty awesome. Even to be on the team, everybody has to vote the person in. So it's kind of cool. I love it. My instructor is there. Bill Rostocki was there. It was awesome.
You know what's funny, J-Dog? In 1992 in Atlantic City, when I became a Raider, I remember Pops and Butch Sugasala and Mouse and Leo and Rodney and all the guys came up to me.
Yeah.
And Drew and Alvin. And they said, look, Gary,
Barry,
you're a Raider. You have to do three things. One, you have to be voted in by everybody.
Yep.
You have to have potential to win a first place. And three, you had to be a little crazy. So you had to fit those three categories, and you could become a Raider. And I was a Raider for 12 years with Pops and everybody, and it changed my journey. It really did. But you know what?
No,
I couldn't do this interview unless I mentioned your incredible sister. How's she doing?
Oh, she's doing great. She's awesome. She's out there in California right now. She's doing her thing, teaching a little bit here and there, helping out my instructor a little bit. You know, it's kind of cool, too. My instructor should be getting voted into the Kempo Hall of Fame in Long Beach International, so that's going to be cool. I think that's next weekend.
Yeah,
so,
next weekend. I talked to Steve yesterday. Yeah.
Uh-huh. To Cooper.
Steve Cooper, he owns it, runs it now. Also, I couldn't sleep at night unless I mentioned your great mother, a roller derby queen. Now, she, how long was she a roller derby queen? How many years did she do the roller derby?
I know she started when she was, I think, 17. So, I mean, she pretty much did it till the day that she passed. Like, she was – it's kind of cool because our story is that, you know, athletic family. My mother lived in Canada for so many years, skating on a Canadian Bombers team. She lived in Australia. She, on that team, just traveling around and being on those teams. So, I mean, I remember being a kid and traveling around four sports, you know, just driving with her, going around with her. So that was one of the main things that kind of got us started with, you know, traveling around, competing and giving it your best and trying to be the best. And then once you get to the best, you gotta stay there. So it's always been cool. But yeah, it all started with my mother on that excellence and on how good we actually have to be.
Well, Mrs. Holmes, rest in peace, because I tell you something, roller derby is one of the toughest sports I have ever watched. I mean, it's incredible. Now, I will talk about you a little bit, J-Dog. You're one of the best fighters I've ever witnessed because you're very smart. You can bang, and meaning like you can hit people. I mean, I've seen you hit people. And I see you not tolerate people treating you with disrespect, but you always were what I call a class 5 athlete. You had a lot of class when you stepped in the ring, when you weren't in the ring. Everybody loves you. And, you know, you're just one of those incredible fighters that, you know, that really, really showcase when you did step in the ring. Now, recently, well, not recently, because you've done it like 15 years. You created a tournament called the Jamal Nationals, or Jamal Nationals. And it was one of the biggest tournaments in Houston, Texas. And you just recently did one. But what's the future of that? Are you doing it by yourself? Dean's going to do one by himself. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think that we definitely had Jamal Nationals. It did everything that we wanted it to do. We had it as an NBL tournament. Obviously, we know there's no more NBL. And so we went down, not down, but we went to a TKO. And it was great there. It was great there. We still had the numbers. We actually were kind of throwing the biggest tournament in Texas, like as far as open sport karate. And, I mean, it was great. But I think that it's just that, you know, we kind of wanted to do our separate thing. So Mr. Pedway wanted to go do a different way, and I wanted to do a different way too. So we decided to let Jamal die down, you know, with NBL and go out with a bang, go out on top, instead of, like, you have some tournaments that go down and then ends up being, like, maybe 100 people at a tournament. And it was, like, the biggest tournament. So we wanted to go out on top, and then that way we could kind of separate. He's going to do his tournament. I'm not sure when he's doing his, but I should be doing mine as well. So I'm excited about that because, I mean, I love competition, and I know what it takes to have a tournament where it's not just competitors, but you want to have an experience. And that's what Jamal was. We wanted to make sure that it was an experience.
Well,
we wanted people to come out and have fun.
My personal, I feel it's one of my personal best. I remember I was at the very first Jamal Nationals in the gym that he had over there, and you let me put my museum stuff up, and my son, Gary Lee, won the first Jamal Award. But years later, you did something very special for me. You gave me the Diamond Award for Ramon Paul. And it really was special, not just getting an award at a tournament, but to know that you realized what he meant to me and what he meant to our state and what he'd done for us. And that's why I recommend when you hear the word Jamal Nationals or Jason Holmes, you know you're going to come to a quality event. Now, before I go to my segment, I want to say one more thing to you publicly, J-Dog. I want to say thank you because, you know, honestly, I say this in love, but my son was a handful. And if it wasn't for you and Wade Jenkins, I don't know what I would have done. And Wade Jenkins works for Chuck Norris, too. But you gave Garrett the hungry that he needed to become a national competitor. And I wanted to say thank you, Jason Holmes. Thank you. I really appreciate you and what you did as a coach. Now, don't go nowhere. Okay, because we're going to come back after I get done with these segments, and we're going to play the Legends name game. This was invented by Bob White, and what we do is we hit you with a name, Jason, and you get to talk about him like a fight for 2 minutes. Okay, well, that's how we close the show out. So I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to one of the great fighters that America created. Mr. Jason Holmes, better known as J-Dog. Now, we do a segment now. It's called the 4+1. I'm the one, but one of our four is not on the show tonight because, well, as I said earlier in the show, her husband had a massive heart attack and passed. He didn't make it. So she's dealing with a lot of people and stuff. So she's not on the air tonight. And normally we let her go first because she's a lady. So we have all our condolences and love toward Karen Slatcher tonight. But I'm going to move right along and introduce my other three individuals. And they're an amazing group. I'm going to start with this young man. I've known him literally since he was an orange belt, and he is now the president. I'm not talking about a fluky, the president amateur organization of karate, the AOK, the largest association in the state of Texas. Guys, you know how much responsibility that is. He is the president, but you know, that's all cool, get the granny. But what I love bragging about is he has won the MVP, the Golden Greek Award winner of the AOK, over 5 times. Now, someday he'll tell me exactly how many, but I know it's over 5. But you know what? It took me 17 years to win just one. I'm talking about the great, and I mean this from the heart, the great David Chambers. D.E., you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know you're in a different type of mood tonight because we lost a great man. You're a karate instructor, Mr. Prince Simon. I appreciate you being on there tonight, buddy. And tonight's subject topic is very simple. What is the difference between a master in karate and a grandmaster in karate? Mr. D. Chambers, go ahead.
I am blessed that today I'm able to actually do things. I'm excited about the opportunity. And I was also blessed to have some good training. And that training allowed me to become a master runner in self-defense. So that makes me excited. Now, the trueness of it is when you have a grandmaster, that's someone who can, even after you get to a master rank, can still teach you. Even after you think you've done so much, they can still correct you. Even after you think you've got to the mountaintop, they can still show you where you really haven't gotten there yet. There's much more left to learn. And a grandmaster is someone who has that ability to change lives, even after you feel that you've already got there. A grandmaster is someone that's a step above. And I'm blessed that I had one of the best grandmasters, period. I did lose a man that was my father, my teacher, my educator. He was a lot. He has helped numerous of people. But he can stand, we call tip-top shape, man. Yes, I have accomplished a lot. He did more than I could imagine. And I'm excited to know that when you're looking at somebody at a grandmaster level, that's somebody who can say, yes, I'm not only accomplished, but I've actually brought people and created things bigger than life. And he's accomplished that. So the major difference between a master rank and a grandmaster rank, I believe, is level. One is the ability to teach. So you can't be a doctor then go back to a person that just started school to teach. If you're a doctor, you got to go to somebody that's above that level. And a grandmaster is someone that's above the norm high level. And so I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to be taught. And I'm also grateful for the different ones since that have stepped up. Grandmaster Villarreal, Grandmaster April Cunningham, Professor Gary Lee, if each one of them has stood up to say yes, they will actually assist me further. So I'm excited about what a grandmaster can do, and I thank God for the opportunity I've had.
David,
hey, Gary.
Hey,
Gary,
yeah,
I think they have something like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between an instructor and a competitor. So let's say a competitor's maybe at a master level. But there's a big difference between a grandmaster and a master. I had a wrestling coach. He's actually world renowned. His name was Howard Ferguson at St. Ed's High School. And he wrote a book, and he was actually a pioneer in the condominium industry back in the 70s. But he would touch people. And in his book, you don't just touch people, but you touch them so they can carry it on and touch others. And that's what a grandmaster does.
Yeah, I agree. Now, David, I'm gonna take 2 minutes to tell my favorite story about Fred Simon. Okay, buddy, you're gonna love this. It's 1981. It's 1981, and we're at Jesse Benavides's, rest in peace, Jesse, his tournament, the Battle of Texas. And remember, back in the day, we would always warm up with each other before we fight. Well, I got knocked out before the tournament even started. I was working out with Al Garza, and, you know, I thought if I could work out with lightweights first, I could beat up any heavyweight. That was my mindset. It was stupid, but that's why. So anyway, I just got done with Al, and this young kid, he wasn't a young kid, but he was younger than me, comes up to me. His name was Mike Hughes, and he comes up to me and says, "Mr. Lee, let's go a few rounds." Well, it got a little heated, and he knocked me out cold with a right cross. Now, I was told by my students that I was laid out on the floor. I was knocked out cold. Fred Simon picked me up, and he had me in his two hands, and he goes, starts shaking me, and someone starts hollering, "Gary, give Gary Lee mouth-to-mouth resuscitation." And Fred Simon goes, in his gruff voice, "I ain't going to give Gary Lee no mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but I'll shake my little babies." And he started shaking me and woke me up and pulled me to his chest. You know, I'm a big boy, big Hawaiian. Kissed me on the cheek and whispered in my ear, "Gary, welcome to Texas. Keep your hands up."
And I love it. Love it. Love it.
I mean, he was bigger than life to me. You know, he sang at five of my events across America. And, you know, I say, "Fred, let me pay your airfare. Let me pay your hotel room." And he looked at me. He says, "Little baby, you keep your money. You build that museum. You don't worry about it. I'm going to sing for you tonight." And he gets standing ovations. I mean, he performed Bob Walls, Rose in front of Chuck, and everybody stood up. I mean, Fred Simon was bigger than life to all of us. And, you know, buddy, I'm with you in my heart, and I know that you're hurting right now. But, you know, we're going to put him in a better place Thursday. So I'll see you Thursday, buddy, okay?
I do appreciate you more than you know. I appreciate everyone has actually reached out to me, whether it be by phone call or by email or text, et cetera. I appreciate the martial art world. I appreciate the music world that's reached out. He has been an icon in different areas. So, again, I do want to say thank you. And his service, his celebration will be this Thursday in Beaumont, Texas, downtown. So I'll be looking forward to seeing a lot of people there. And, again, I want to say thank you.
Well, I'm going to be picked up by Jim Butcher, and I'll be there wheelchair and all. You can count on it. So God bless you. Now, moving right along with the 4+1, I love introducing this next man. He is the president. I got all these presidents I know. He is the president of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, a PhD, a Marine. He was the bodyguard of Ringo Starr of the Beatles. He worked in Black Belt Magazine. He's a mentor, and he helps me make the right decisions toward the Sport Karate Museum. Last year, him and I together were inducted into the Kenpo Hall of Fame in Las Vegas. I'm talking about the great Jerry Smith. Uncle Jerry, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I know I'm keeping you up past your bedtime, but I really want to hear your feeling about this question. What is the difference between a master and a grandmaster?
Well, there seems to be a lot of masters around these days. I had the pleasure of studying with several grandmasters, starting with Heidi Taka Nishiyama, which inspired me to actually, you know, once you get a taste of excellent knowledge and training, to go in the Marine Corps and go to the Orient. That's the only way I could get there. and study under the Grand Masters on Okinawa. And they are sitting on the Master Jun Kina. And also started out under a great judo jujitsu, and I hope some of you know of him in the Midwest, Professor John Chambers. All of these great grandmasters had a truly, truly profound effect on my life. Now, that was one more, and you guys know, most of you guys know who I'm talking about, and that was the world champion, the great Joe Louis. He's the one that, that taught me. You know, I thought I knew a lot, but he's the one that taught me to actually study the martial arts as a professional athlete, not just something that you do on the weekend, go to a tournament, fight, eat, you know, tacos and burritos. No, he goes, from time to time, because I was one of Joe's first private students, they would say, well, what was the first thing that Joe Louis ever taught you? Joe looked at my measly little body and said, son, look, come here. He goes, I thought I was going up to work out or something, but he goes, we'll work out, but first of all, come in the kitchen, and he made me a protein drink. And he just taught me how to approach martial arts in a holistic manner, to look at it not from one point to one point, to look at it physically, mechanically, psychologically. And that changed everything for me. I truly started to excel. Now, at the end of my career, I was on a team that I was captain of a team that won the international team champion 3 years in a row, and no one has ever did that, from what I understand. And once I moved to Northern California, I started to look back on my career and take everything that I had learned from these great masters and create a system, I guess I can call it my system, which was Shorinju Kenpo, and which was a combination of everything I had learned over 50 years. And I didn't do that for anyone to call me, to promote me to a grandmaster. A group of English men got to get, and I still don't call myself a grandmaster, but there are those who do. And so there's really, the difference is usually a grandmaster is associated with a system that he had something to do with actually creating at some point, or either contributing to. I hope I'm not being too abstract with this, but that's what it is to me.
Yes, sir. Well, that was really great. And, you know, I appreciate you so much, Jerry Smith, for what you do and the inspiration you give me daily. You're one of the good guys. And I got to throw in the fact. As long
hey,
as
Gary, I got a question for Jerry.
AJ, wait a minute, AJ. In Las Vegas, at John de Timothy's Roast, you gave me Joe Louis's black belt. So the lineage of Joe and his history will be forever remembered. Go ahead, AJ. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did you say Shorinji style Kenpo?
Shorinju Kenpo. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
A combination of each different word in that is for the masters that I studied with, the grandmasters that I consider that I studied with, the Shorinju, which is the Okinawa, the Jiu-Jitsu and Judo, Professor Chambers, and the Kenpo on the Professor Bob Leonard. And So,
because you know,
I know that there is a Shorinju Kempo. I've heard other people, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
I wasn't sure. I just want to make sure I heard you, because actually Shorinji style Kempo, that's actually the only martial art that's considered a religion.
Oh, really?
It is.
I know. Naturally, and please believe me, when I took what I had, what I was taught by all these people, but I saw that and I went, oh my goodness, there's a Shorinju.
I was just making sure I heard you right. I wasn't sure.
No, there's also a Nippon Kempo that I studied that Tom Spellman will probably talk about a bit as well.
Yeah, you always have some great additions, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for what a great course,
Dave. Thank you for your input. And Uncle Jerry, I love you, and thank you so much for your input, sir. And the other part of the four, which I put together, guys, as you know, I premeditate everything. I did some studying. I did some research. And I put the four together. Terrence Fletcher, Jerry Smith, D.E. Chambers, and this next man purposely. Now, he is the web designer for Karate Museum, archives.com. And all the changes, all the improvements that you see by going there, he takes responsibility. But he also is a 10th degree black belt instructor. A professor. He is really an amazing, knowledgeable man. And we're talking about, he also trained with Uncle Jerry Smith. He is an incredible man. His name is Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, you there, buddy?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Gary. That was really special. Thank you.
Well, I'm getting better on the introductions. All the checks are going to be in the mail, Tom.
You might not be able to cash mine. Do the best I can.
Okay. But, Tom, I've been waiting all day to hear your explanation because I know you're opinionated like I am. What is the difference in your concept of a master and a grandmaster?
Well, you know, as English words, master, you know, could be a teacher or a person whose doctrine is accepted by followers, and there isn't even in the one dictionary I use, there isn't even a word grandmaster as a single word. You just have to use the word grand to, modify master, and it makes it one who has higher rank of guard than others in the same category. So that's what the grand does to the word master. But in the Orient, especially in Japan, they have a thing called shogo. Shogo goes back to the old Japanese samurai days and the different groups like the tea ceremony and calligraphy and all kinds of other stuff. And they had samurai titles that were used. And then in 1895 in Kyoto, Japan, the Dai Nippon Budokai, which means the Greater Japan Martial Virtue Society, was established, and they were responsible for categorizing all the martial arts, everything in Japan, and giving titles out to certain people for certain things. So these are the titles that we normally hear about, Hanchi, and as some people hear, Goshi and Renchi, the three titles that are used in Japan prominently. Renchi is usually around 6th dan. Now, the thing to remember is that these awards are given specifically to people for specific reasons. They are limited by a certain rank, but they are not guaranteed by getting the rank and attaining the rank. So it's above and beyond all of that. The word ren means polished or tempered. And so the Renchi title, which is for 6th dan, means that the person has come up to a polished instructor or expert instructor status amongst his peers, and because of that, he is recognized at that level. The next one, Goshi, means professor, and also the word can be interpreted as the kanji as philosophy.
and it equals a professor capable of teaching the philosophy of the martial arts. So that adds another dimension to the concept of the martial arts physically that the person does. And that's, you know, seventh dawn to about eighth dawn. And then Hanshi, the one that we hear a lot these days, means specifically example, model. And it means a teacher that can serve as an ideal model for others. So it's not just the idea that they are physically capable and know the material and the system, and maybe we're born into, you know, the hierarchy or something like that. It means that these people have done something so significant. They have, gone through the concept. Oftentimes, the word Hanshi, for instance, the word Han means gentleman. And that's a confusion because when you hear the word Qihan, which a lot of people use, and sometimes, indeterminately with Hanshi, as head instructor or expert instructor, the words in Japanese change when you take the characters and put them in different formats. They refer to each other in a different way.
Yeah.
And so one word that in Japanese for she on Shihan would just mean a teacher, where in Hanshi it means gentleman or scholar. So there's a real major thing that just basically talks about a person being a person who has lived an exemplary life and is beyond just the limitations or the qualifications for the rank. And so I'd like to think that we kind of look at our own selves and be careful, because sometimes we get caught up in working with rank in a hierarchy system, pretty much like the military, which is where some of the confusion came because of the way the Japanese had gotten into the military for the first time as a national thing, in the last century after the Reformation. And that changed kind of the aspects of those things. But it's the quality of the person beyond that and what they bring to the art and what they use to be able to further the art, besides just knowing the techniques and the katas and being able to do them or explain them to somebody else. And that's what those were meant to be there, as opposed to just a hierarchical name to say that this guy is the head dog in the class or head dog on the mat.
Well, your extreme knowledge is so important to the show, Tom, and thank you so much for that. It really means a lot, because I'm sure the listeners appreciate the fact that it's not only real knowledge, but it's all. Thank you so much. Now,
Ladies and gentlemen,
part of the segment that we do every week, we're teaching you new technology, new concepts. And one of the adventures that the Sport Karate Museum and this show has introduced for the past year is virtual reality. Now, virtual reality is where you put on a headset and you're inside the computer program. You're not just looking at it like on a screen. You're inside. You're immersive, as the word says. And I've got the inventor of SetVR on the air, and he will be there in October with some other inventors, Mr. Rick Shanahan, to introduce to you the concept of SetVR, virtual reality enhancement training in virtual reality. I'd like to introduce him now, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, you there, buddy?
Yes. Good evening, sir. How are you today?
What a great show. Now, Explain to people what SetVR is, Reggie. Go ahead.
Yes. We at SetVR continue to be super excited about our program, SetVR, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, as a platform whereby you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact. You can take it anywhere you travel, and even during a pandemic, to continue to practice your skills in self-defense while continuing to practicing social distancing. If you had to describe SetVR, I would describe it as compact and portable, to be immersed in a simulation program for self-improvement to develop a reflex response. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. To practice to improve your skills in evasion to angular, linear, or circular movements to place you in an opportunity position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy to develop muscle memory, and subsequently my goal to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation, just like if I tap on your knee to create a knee jerk or if I placed your hand on a hot stove, you develop a reflex response to a threat. This is a platform whereby you can continue to practice your skills and what you've been taught in college and forums in your schools on an application in regards to practicing anytime, anywhere, when you want against a random attack. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercises, and we'll also present you with your own personal instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum through the future platform of his vision of the history portal and virtual reality, for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior in the history portal demo at the entrance of the history portal. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Garley, could you tell the audience a few words about your vision of the history museum in virtual reality?
Well, my vision was to be able to put the history of all the history generals so people can see who created for karate or karate in America. And we've got a great core group. With the permission of Judge Roy Kirvin, the inventor of the two-point kick, he is one of them. With permission of Mr. George Minshew, the first man to give away a gold ring in open competition. With permission from Chris Minshew, from the NBL World Champions, and with permission from Mr. Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and Century Martial Arts. These are the four people, core group. And then every month, we're going to add a new history journal. A.J. Dean, Uncle Jerry Smith, Tom Spellman, Terrence Latcher, Dean Chambers. They're all going to be there eventually. And I'm so excited about this program. Now, remember, you can go to Google on your computer right now and you can check it out. SETVR.APP and you can see what all the excitement is about. And again, October 7th and 8th at the Judge Roy Kirvin Tribute and Roast in Houston, Texas. Dr. Reginald Lee, some of the inventors, will be there to show you what exactly SetVR is. I'm sorry.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, I just want to say, those of our listeners who have visited the website for the museum, if you go to the website on the top banner on the bottom right, there is a button for SetVR that can push, go to it, and two things. There is a button that will take you directly to the site by just clicking it, and also there is a photograph of Dr. Lee and the banner that he takes and puts at the events that shows that. And I suggest anybody to get a chance to try it, they better get in line quick because it's becoming so popular at the events that it occurs at. And this is a good reason. Take a look at it on the website, and that way you know what to look for and head for it and stand there and be amazed.
know, that said VR, Gary, in South Carolina, those kids were going crazy over it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Lee mentioned about it being portable. You don't have to just use it inside. You could take it outside.
Right.
You could be on vacation and take it with you. So you have an opportunity to train with that anywhere you go.
It's an incredible invention. So, Reggie, thank you so much, and I'll see you in a couple months, buddy. Okay.
Thank you, sir. We're super excited. Thank you, sir.
Our last segment of the radio show, again, is very special. This man, as I said earlier, he is one of my co-hosts. He's a 47-time champion in NBO and NASCAR, but he has got an alias, and he tells me every day he's better known as this alias. But I get confused. Dean Piles, Wolverine. Wolverine, Dean Piles. But anyway, we have 3 minutes with the Wolverine, and he gets to say what he means what he says, and he can back it up, ladies and gentlemen. We take the lease off of him for 3 minutes. Wolverine!
Yes, sir!
Okay. This is a subject that you had picked. Tell me about the mask that people wear.
Okay, roger that. But first, I'd just like to say really quick, man, the passing of Mr. Fred Simon, he was such an amazing, talented man, not just his martial arts, but his singing. I loved it when he would come to the Legends event that you would hold and sing. And I love the clothes he wear because, you know, bibbed overalls, that's my neck of the woods. That's what we wear up in the hill. I just, you know, he was just such an awesome, awesome man. And, you know, for Mr. Chambers to have got to train under him, that's just amazing. My condolences to him because I know how it is to, have the passion of an instructor. Sir, I really, you know, my heart goes out to you. I know how that is, and especially with somebody that was as amazing as he was. I mean, you could not smile being around him. He's just an awesome, awesome individual. The world would be a better place if there's more people like him.
Yes.
That's for sure. And then another thing, J-Dog is one of my favorite fighters. I love watching him fight. He's always done good. And like you said, Professor, he always – is a gentleman in, you know, outside the ring, always smiling, just a good person to watch and you know, people can learn a lot from watching him do stuff. So that's amazing having him on tonight. That's good. And also I wanted to, you know, give a shout out to Miss Slasher also. I talked to her last night. Her attitude is so good. She's got such a great positive outlook and puts all her faith in God and you know, there's a lot to be learned from that. And you know, it's just, you know, I know we just all need to be close to her for the passing of her husband. That's a long time to be with someone, and then just, you know, not have them. So our hearts go out to her also.
Dean,
but Matt,
Dean.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. Listen, honey. Okay. I don't want to cut you off short. Can we do the math next week? Let's do the math. You'll have your 3 minutes because what you just said about Fred and Karen and J-Dog, it was worth your time. So we'll do the math.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Next week. Yeah, next week we'll do the math. We'll bring back the Wolverine. So God bless you, Wolverine.
Roger that.
And I appreciate you. You wait until next week to talk about the mask that people wear. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
That was an incredible.
And thank you for that, too. I appreciate
that we do.
You're very welcome,
for everybody. And I'm going to bring back my special guest, Jason J-Dog.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. We're running late on time, but I got to throw in. Tell me about Bill Rozocchi, your opinion.
Oh, man, one of the greatest, like, I know you guys talked about grandmasters. He's everything what I thought or what should be a grandmaster and just him. I mean, from his battles from when he was younger to being with Bruce Lee, from just working with students from the day that he passed. I mean, just being a straight role model in the martial arts. And I know you guys said, like, you know, when I go to tournaments and my respect for everyone, that was our Grandmaster Sensei Bill. Always so humble, always would talk to anyone. When it came to being in the ring, he didn't play no games. But when you were just enjoying life, I mean, I don't want to say all the crazy stories that we've had, but, I mean, he was literally a kid. Like, he used to have so much fun with us. And I remember being a kid, and he would just go out and play. And even when I'm getting my fourth-degree black belt and fifth-degree black belt, I mean, we would hang out. I don't want to say we would go to bars, but, you know, we would just be enjoying each other's time. And that sometimes as a grandmaster, somebody would be like, oh, well, no, I'm above everybody else, and we don't talk to the first degree black belts or anything like that. But that's not him.
I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but I got to tell you the story real quick. We're in Guatemala, Eric Schumann's tournament, and Stuart Schumann, and Bill Rozaki was up on the stage. I'd done pretty good that day. I walked out with 5 first places, and I was tired. So I went back to the hotel, and I didn't tell nobody. And Stuart thought I was kidnapped or something. It was crazy. And Bill found out I had bubblegum cards, and he autographed them all. He put Gary Lee on all of them. And when they found me back at the hotel, they brought me back to the tournament, and Uncle Bill, old Bill Rozaki, took those bubblegum cards, and he sold them. And that night, we took that money, and we went out, and we had a good time. But Bill Rozaki, he was one of my best friends. Now,
that's what it was about.
Jay Dawes,
yeah, it was just those memories,
man. Thank you for being on the show tonight and sharing your experiences. And you just keep doing it. We can't wait to see what you do with your next tournament. And I hope to see you in a couple months at the Cotto Wars and be a judge. And, you know, I hope your family's doing well. And I thank you for being on this show tonight. It really means a lot. Thank you so much, J-Dog.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
love you
guys. We're talking to Mr. Jason Holmes and our incredible segments that we've had. And again, a special tribute and dedication this show to the great Fred Simon and what he did for all of us in sport karate. And, you know, we're going to miss him. But he was a great man. And a special, special shout out and deep love to our co-host, Karen Slatcher, in her time of sorrow. And she'll be here next week. But we appreciate everybody. Auntie Bowen, Reggie Lee, Tom Spellman, Jerry Smith, Karen Slatcher, Dean Piles, A.J. Perry. We love all you guys. On behalf. On behalf of our show, Parts Unknown, our weekly broadcast, we say it every week, and we mean it from the heart. We really do. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.